I remember when I first read the Unitarian Universalist Statement of Principles. Finally, I thought, a religion that expresses my values. And I hear something similar to this from others and from newer members of our faith. And most Unitarian Universalists, though not all, affirm most of what's in the principles. And because of that, the principles have come to be one of the common threads in our spiritual communities. They give us a common language, a common reference point, a common touchstone for our life together as religious people. They also offer us guidance in our daily lives, how we can live meaningfully and ethically. As Reverend Viola Abbott says, the principles tell us how we should be. They tell us how we should act in the larger world and with each other. Yet more and more, I have come to find that there are missing threads in the fabric of our principles. An important part of the collective vision of who we are as Unitarian Universalists and how we should be isn't represented in those seven principles. Fortunately, the principles can change as we change and grow, as our needs and our convictions change and grow, as we learn. They can change so that the practice of this faith is a fulfilling manifestation of its promise. As a denomination, a change we are now in conversation about is adding the eighth principle. As our larger movement works toward adopting the eighth principle, the Black Lives of Unitarian Universalist Organizing Collective is urging congregations, individual congregations, to adopt the eighth principle. They are calling on congregations to do this as a way to articulate a commitment to dismantling racism and other oppressions and to building the beloved community. We read the eighth principle just a few minutes ago, but I'd like for us to read it again, so you might have to find your order of service. We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote journeying toward spiritual wholeness by working to build a diverse, multicultural, beloved community by our actions that accountably dismantle racism and other oppressions in ourselves and our institutions. So why should we change our beloved principles? Why should we adopt this principle? What does it have to offer to our movement and to our world that the other principles don't? Well, first of all, the principles have always been a work in progress. They are not immutable. They are not like the Ten Commandments, where there will always be 10 and only 10. Because as religious people, we believe in ongoing revelation. As we unfold new truths, we incorporate that learning. Those new truths might be facts, but perhaps more importantly, they are also ways of being. They are people's experiences and people's identities. Affirming that revelation is open makes space for people, for their differences, for their unique experiences and identities, for their voices and their perspectives. And in particular, it makes space for those who are newly coming into our movement. That could include, for example, the perspectives of young adults who we haven't always done a good job of including in our communities. It could be the perspectives and identities of people who are differently abled, of trans people, of those of Muslim, Jewish, and Hindu backgrounds, people of color, people of different socioeconomic backgrounds. In order for those who are part of our movement, for those who are coming newly into our movement, to experience true belonging, their voices and their experiences need to be heard and included and honored. That openness to revelation means being willing to change our minds and hearts and our communities, and also our principles. Because the principles help to shape the future of our faith and who we are. And that's what happened in the past. So we're not talking about doing something that's never happened before. Our current seven principles grew out of professions of faith and statements of purpose that predated the 1961 merger of Unitarians and Universalists. And over the years since then, those principles have been revised, first in 1984 and 1985, and then later on, they were amended in 1995. And some of those revisions, many of them were the result of work of Unitarian Universalist women. The women were unhappy, and that's probably an understatement. They were unhappy with blatant sexist language in the original version of the principles. There were references to the dignity of man and mankind, for example. And the women critiqued Unitarian Universalism for being patriarchal. Some people were unhappy about that. That's probably an understatement, too. The idea that Unitarian Universalism was patriarchal was hard for some people, some Unitarian Universalists, to accept. Not everyone understood that the masculine language excluded women and reinforced the patriarchy. But ultimately, the principles were altered to be more inclusive, to widen the welcome. And other revisions that were made acknowledged the importance of traditions other than Judeo-Christianity, and they named the relationship of humans to the earth and the environment. And these changes that I'm describing that happened in the past, all of those are now fundamental to the way we understand who we are as Unitarian Universalists and how we understand our religious tradition and how we understand those seven principles. So a second reason to add this eighth principle is that many of our congregations are starved for what the eighth principle has to offer. Many of us are soul-starved. Soul-starved for a principle that speaks to our spiritual longing to build the beloved community and to have some mechanism to hold ourselves and each other accountable to creating the kind of community we say we want. It doesn't really seem like we should need this principle to do that. I mean, the values are implicit in the other seven principles that we have. But the reality is that those other seven principles haven't helped us make nearly enough progress on dismantling racism and other oppressions and building the beloved community. The other seven principles don't explicitly express the ethical and spiritual thread that we need to live into a multicultural, anti-racist, anti-oppression vision for our religious communities and for our world. Otherwise, we would already have made a lot more progress. We need a common language. We need a common understanding. And we need a common ethical and spiritual framework that we can collectively point to and hold ourselves and each other accountable to. Adopting the eighth principle is a starting point toward being accountable toward these goals. It would help us renew our commitment to this work and fulfill the potential of the existing seven principles. Now, the third reason for this principle is that love is central to our faith. It is a hallmark of Universalism in particular, God is love. You see it right here, that motto of universalism right there on the pulpit. Yet, it's nowhere to be found in the principles. I reread the principles several times just to be sure. How can that be? It hardly seems possible that the word love is not mentioned in the seven principles. The word compassion is there. So is the word community. There are lots of references to values that would ideally promote love. Still, that word love is not there. The phrase beloved community would encapsulate that call to love. The term beloved community, and Tanya has shared a bit about what it means, and I will as well. That term was coined in the 20th century by the philosopher Josiah Royce. He was a member of the Fellowship of Reconciliation. That was the largest interfaith peace organization in the country. And that organization was grounded in the philosophy and methods of nonviolence and reconciliation. And the term was made popular by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in the 1950s. Reverend Michael Slack, who is a Unitarian Universalist minister, and he's part of the Transforming Hearts Collective of Unitarian Universalism. They're the group that created the new curriculum, Trans Inclusion in Congregations. Michael Slack describes beloved community this way. For King, beloved community was a goal to be achieved. It was a vision for how the world could be. And it really began with recognizing this notion that we are, in fact, all different people. We're different people, and we show up with different ideals, different values, different understandings about how the world works. We exist in the world in different ways. Beloved community embodies a vision in which all people share in the promises and potentials of a free and equitable existence, not in the concept that we are all the same, but that we are all different. It insists that there is more love somewhere, and that we're going to keep on until we find it, till we find it across and through those differences. Now, similar to Reverend Slack's description, the Black Lives of Unitarian Universalist Organizing Collective describes beloved community, and they do it this way. Beloved community happens when people of diverse racial, ethnic, educational, class, gender, sexual orientation, backgrounds, and identities come together in an interdependent relationship of love, mutual respect, and care that seeks to realize justice within the community and in the broader world. So again, a focus on coming together across those diversities, across those different ways of being. So a fourth and final reason that I want to share with you this morning for us to adopt this eighth principle is that in recent years, there's been a growing awareness that we have not reached the goal of beloved community. We have not reached a critical level of consciousness in becoming multicultural, anti-racist, and anti-oppression. There is work that we need to do to be in right relationship and to actually get to know each other, to truly get to know each other. Too often we have faltered in this work, both within our congregations and in our work in the larger world. Now, during the Civil Rights Movement, at Dr. King's request, Unitarian Universalists showed up, and we like to point to this in our history. We like to point to that point, that time in our history, because it was a proud moment for us. It was a very proud moment for us. We did tremendous, important work. But since then, our record has been less stellar. In the late 60s, there were broken promises of funding within Unitarian Universalism, and as a result, many African Americans in our movement left. And in the late 80s and the early 90s, we were pretty silent on issues of race. And then there was a time period, about a decade, of what seemed like we were making progress, and many congregations like ours embraced the Black Lives Matter movement and displayed banners on their buildings. And then there was a high-profile crisis in our religion over the lack of inclusivity in hiring practices at the Unitarian Universalist Association. And that led to the resignation of our Unitarian Universalist Association president, as well as some other key leaders. And so the Black Lives of Unitarian Universalist Organizing Collective is calling on us now to adopt this principle. And they're doing this not because we have arrived at beloved community, but because we need to renew our efforts. They're asking congregations to adopt the eighth principle as a starting point, not as the finish line. Our congregation needs that renewal. We need that strong starting point to help us to achieve our vision of beloved community. Last Tuesday, your board of directors and ministry and operations team voted their support to place a vote for adoption of the eighth principle on the agenda for our May congregational meeting. Between now and May, there will be opportunities for us to engage in conversation and educational programs. And I want to just name three of those. I lifted them up during the announcements, at least two of them. One is a trans inclusion and congregations workshop on February 2nd. Another is learning about Indigenous people's history through the Common Book Read. That's going to be at the end of March. And also, there will be the opportunity to attend a worship service and a workshop, Building a Community of Communities, that will be led by Paula Cole Jones. That's going to be on February 23rd. Paula Cole Jones, many of you know Paula, yes? Paula is currently our regional lead, our person who we go to when we have questions about a need for resources for our congregation. She's our connecting point. But Paula Cole Jones is also the first person who said, "We need an eighth principle." And she got this conversation started a long time ago, many years ago. Each and every one of these programs I mentioned, they may all sound different to you, but I assure you, they all point us in the direction of building beloved community. And that intersectionality that Tanya was talking about, one of the things that is so important about understanding that is that when we study or engage in one area, we think we're engaging one area, but we're not. We're really talking about all of these oppressions in our movement and in our world. So when we start talking about trans inclusion, we're talking more broadly about oppressions. When we talk about the history of Indigenous peoples, we are talking about anti-racism and inclusion in its broadest understanding. When we talk about building a community of communities, we are talking about how to broaden our welcome. W.E.B. Du Bois famously said, "Now is the accepted time, not tomorrow, not some more convenient season. It is today that our best work can be done and not some future day or future year." Now is the time for the eighth principle. That's what it says on this nifty pin I'm wearing. It's a riff on W.E.B. Du Bois. Now is the time for the eighth principle. Du Bois co-founded the NAACP in 1909. He was a leading spokesperson for African-American rights in the first half of the 20th century. Now is the time, not some future time. Now is the time for the eighth principle. Now is the time for beloved community. Let's dream big. Let's climb up the mountaintop. Let's build a new way. Let's journey towards spiritual wholeness together by working to build a diverse, multicultural, beloved community. May it be so. Amen. And blessed be.
Thank you for joining us this week. If you'd like a copy of the transcript of this sermon, you can find most week's messages at www.uuberks.org/sermons. If you have any thoughts or conversation about today's message, we hope you'll take a moment to stop by our Facebook page and share them. And from all of us at First UU Berks, may this chalice light your path and guide your way until you join us again.